I've entitled it A Song in the Night. And so we had been going through the book of Matthew, and I was contemplating going back to that. But I just still feel like we are in the middle of this crisis. And when we turn on the news, that's what's there. That's what we are seeing. We're seeing, you know, and we're seeing the numbers. It's growing. We see the death count growing. And it's very easy to lose sight of the good things in life right now. And what is right with our world, just with what's happening in our news, so, and in our nation. So last week we looked at Psalms 5, and that message was entitled Shield. You can find that on YouTube, Facebook, or just on our website and catch the message there. But we talked about bringing your urgent requests to God, come before Him with confidence and humility, and then to rejoice in God's favor and His protection. That was Psalms 5, and God, David says, "You are your favor is around me like a shield." So that's where we got the title for that message. And as I was kind of having my devotions on my back patio, I think it was Thursday morning, and God just began to speak to me and said, "Nope, you need to speak from Psalm 77." And pretty much had my message already prepared, and so God shifted gears on me. And I just, as I was thinking about that, why do we? I find myself gravitating towards the Psalms in this time, and I'm going to share why I think that is. The Gospels are what we call a narrative, a historical narrative. They tell us the story of Jesus. They contain His truth, His teachings, but they also contain just the life and the events of Jesus' life. So they speak to our head, the teaching does, but the stories speak to our heart as well. So they're a good combination of reaching our heart and our head. The letters of Paul, we call them epistles, but they were letters to his churches that he had started. And they are tend to be more prescriptive. In other words, they are prescribing what they should do as a church. So there's a lot of teaching involved there, not so much story. So they speak to our head, just not as many stories involved in the letters of Paul. And then you got the Pentateuch, which is, they're considered historical narratives. Again, a story, we do get some doctrine and teaching out of those, but they more or less tell how God is working in the lives of people and how He works in their lives. So we look at, who do we want to look at first? You look at Noah, you look at Adam, you look at Moses and Joseph. You see those great stories that are in the Pentateuch and how God worked in their life and His covenant love for them. And then you have the prophetic books. They're in the league of their own. They're picturesque. They speak of things that were and are to come, right? They're a league in their own. And then there's the Psalms. Psalms are unique in that they are a song, right? That's what Psalms means. They are a song. And they share how godly people wrestle with the truth of God in a practical way in their own life. All right? They're very honest at times. They reflect human emotion. And what we wrestle with when we're dealing with truth and the events of our life. They struggle with what happens between the head and the heart, is what I like to say. Between what we know to be true and what we feel in our heart. All right? And so we've been wrestling with that. We know that God is faithful. He's going to lead us through this time. But then we see the news and we see the events around us. And so we see that reality and then we know the truth of God's word. And there's a tension that exists there. And so that's why I like the Psalms, especially in moments like these. We all know that God answers prayer. Many of us have seen God answer prayer, some miracles and some incredible things, right? But we also, at times like these, we begin to question, say, God, where are you in this moment, in this time? And so there seems at times to be a misalignment, disagreement between what we know and what we feel. So to look at this a little more closely, I want us to look at Psalm 77, looking at verses 1 through 20. As we begin, just ask God's, invite God's presence here. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. It is the living word of God. And when we come to it, it is more than just words on a page. It speaks life to us. It speaks instruction. It gives us hope, Lord God. It helps us to know how to navigate things, events in our life, like what we are dealing with now with this COVID virus, Lord God, it helps us to know how we should go through it. And we see the lives of people that have also been in similar circumstances and how they've navigated through that, dear God. Father, give us your grace and your strength in this moment. Give us the help of your Holy Spirit to take what is spoken in these moments and apply them to our heart and our family. In your name we pray. Amen. Psalm 77 begins with verses 1 through 11. I'm going to look at first of all here. It says, I cried out to God for help. Notice that emotion. So more than just a prayer, again, it's that what we talked about last week, that emotion of crying out to God. So there's some passion there, seeking God in a time of distress. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. God, hear me. Verse 2, when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. And at night, I stretched out my tiring arms, my hands. But I was not comforted. I would not be comforted. Wow. The psalmist is crying out to God, but he feels like he's not being heard. The comfort of God is not coming as he wanted, as soon as he wanted in this moment. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. Again, there's just that emotion there. And I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. He's growing tired. He's losing his energy. Verse 4, you kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. Psalmist is really wrestling with something. This is a song that was written by Asaph. He's a worship leader for Israel. I thought about the former days. Oh man, the good days. Remember those good days? Yeah. The years long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. You ever sing in the night? Sing a song to God or a melody that has captured your heart? My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Don't you appreciate the honesty of the psalmist? Sometimes we have those thoughts and we're afraid to express them, to give voice to them. But the psalmist puts it right here. God, are you rejecting us? Will you never show your favor again? Have we totally lost your grace and your mercy? Verse 8, has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, the psalmist says, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. And so the psalmist, he's wrestling with that, and he's trying to work his way out of this hole that he's in. Okay? This dark hole, this night that he is in, he's trying to wrestle with it. How can I get myself out of there? And the first thing that we see here, he goes, I remember the deeds of the Lord. I remember your miracles of long ago. The psalmist is doing the right things. He's crying out to God. And the only thing that can get him out of there is to remember the things that God has done. Can you sense the tension between his head and his heart, between the truth and how he feels? David had similar thoughts in Psalms 42, verses 1 through 8. He says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Cool, refreshing drink of water. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say all day long, where's your God? David's in a similar place. He's praying out to God. He's crying out to God, but people are even saying, hey, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast within me? Why are you so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of the waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me, just like you're getting crushed by a big wave on the ocean. It's just pounding over you, rolls you up. By day, the Lord directs His love. This is what we want to catch. And at night, His song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. So how do we get ourselves out of these moments where we're wrestling with that tension? How do we get ourselves out of that dark place and out of the night? I believe the principle we see from Asaph and 77 here, Psalm 77, and from David is, first principle is, in the silence, remember God's faithfulness. So if you have your bulletin printed off at home, you can write that in, kids. I'm glad you're watching. in the silence, remember God's faithfulness. Remember, reflect upon God's faithfulness. You know, we have the one of our national holidays, biggest national holidays other than Christmas and Easter, is Thanksgiving, where we reflect upon what God has done for us. Remember His faithfulness and His goodness towards us. In these times, God is wanting us to walk by faith and not by sight. Wow. He wants us to trust Him and not our emotions. And in the difficult times, remind yourself that God's faithfulness to you and to those down through history. God is faithful. You know, maybe after we're done here, I encourage you as a family to list the ways that God has been faithful to you over this past year. To you and your family. How has He blessed you in health and your finances? You have food in the pantry and on the table. You have enough toilet paper to make it through the next week. You have a roof over your head. And the list could go on. What are the things that you can be thankful for and how God has been faithful? It's easy in these times just to focus in on the empty store shelves and what's on the news instead of focusing on what is right and God's faithfulness. Amen? Secondly, he says in verse 12, I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Consider means to think deeply on a subject. Meditate means to think deeply on a subject. So he's using synonymous words there. But consider means to mutter to yourself. And I know some of you are pretty good at that. I'm good at that. I don't know. I think that's a good, healthy quality I've heard. I don't know. But it means to repeat things to yourself, to consider, to mull things over in your head and maybe even to verbalize that, all right? Meditate means to chew on something. You're like a cow chews its cud. It actually, we won't go into all the details of that, but they are ruminating on that. They are chewing on that. And that's what God wants us to do with His Word. And that's what the psalmist is doing. He's considering the mighty works of God, all the things He has done, not only His faithfulness, but His mighty works. And here he seems to be referring to God taking them out of the nation of Egypt into the promised land. But also, I think one of His greatest works in all time is creation. So I'm going to talk a little more about that. But the second point we want to catch is meditate on God's mighty works. Meditate on God's mighty works. So the psalmist seems to be focusing on Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Think of the plagues. Wow. Pretty massive. Think of the parting of the Red Sea. He's going to refer to that a little bit more. But just the undertaking of parting the Red Sea so that these over a million people could walk through on dry ground. That is an accomplishment in and of itself. Think of the manna and the quail that God provided daily, except for on the Sabbath day. On Friday, He would provide a double portion. But think of all that manna and quail that God would provide for millions of people in the wilderness. That is truly incredible. Truly incredible. Those are some mighty works. What are some of the mighty works that God has done for you? So, as I mentioned, one of the greatest things that I think of is creation itself, just all that God did in creation. Creating the sun, the moon, the stars, the wildlife, just the morning, the cycles, the morning and evening, the night. There's just so many wonderful things about creation. One of the things I like to do this time of year is sit on the back patio in the mornings and have my devotions. Usually the sun, there's light, but the sun isn't up yet. So after it gets past a certain place, it gets past the house, and then the sun kind of shines in my eyes. So I have to hit it early. But as I'm out there right now, the birds are singing. You got the cardinals that are calling. They're calling for their mate. And you got the blue jays. They're in that blue vivid color, and they're calling out. You have the orioles and the robins. The robins are really busy right now. They're getting their nest material. They're finding anything that is good to build their nests. I have a pair of wood ducks that fly through our backyard. And they'll sit in the trees kind of, just in our adjoining properties there. I got my binoculars the other morning and zoomed in on it. And the one's just a beautiful male wood duck and just such vivid colors. There he is sitting up in the tree. Just think about the mighty works that God has done that He's put in place. You may have your own things that you want to focus in on. But if you watch the news, it may seem all bad. All you see is red dots as we look at the world map. And all you see is this, all the people have been infected and the death count. How about how many have recovered from this? How about how many have been spared this? We don't focus on the positive things, it seems. Focus on the mighty works of God. Paul put it this way in Philippians 4. This is the passage where he talks about, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Right? And then he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So that second point, if you're writing those down, is meditate on God's mighty works. Meditate on God's mighty works. Third, let's look at verses 13 through 20. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are God who performs miracles. You display your power amongst the people. With your mighty army, you redeemed your people. With your mighty arm, excuse me. And the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters you saw, God, the waters saw you and they writhed. The very depths were convulsed. So he's referring to the parting of the Red Sea here. So when they saw God, they convulsed and they were stirred. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. So it almost sounds like it was a storm that parted, that God used a storm to part the Red Sea. Your thunder was heard in the world when your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked and your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints weren't seen. I love that part. God led them through the Red Sea, even though his footprints weren't seen. He led them through. Verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, if you remember, the Israelites were trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. They were pinned down. They were anxious. They were crying out to Moses and saying, why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt? It would have been better if we'd have died there, suffered there, than come out here and die. And then God speaks. The Red Sea is parted and they cross through on dry land. God led them through this crisis as the Good Shepherd. Amen? He is the Good Shepherd. And the point I want us to catch here is trust the ways of God. Trust the ways of God. Right now, we don't see how God is going to use this crisis. I sense that he's going to use it even for the good of the church and for his purposes, but I necessarily don't see it all, and maybe we'll never fully understand it all. Maybe when we get to heaven. Maybe we'll understand it in our lifetime. We don't know. All that we know is that God led him through the Red Sea, and he can lead us through this crisis as well. Psalms 23, we read that last Sunday. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Just put that in perspective of where we're at right now. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Some of you have had a little extra time just to relax. You're not running here and there. You got free time. And God is using this as a time to restore your soul. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Verse 4, think about this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. God's walking with us through this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Man, even in the midst of this, God, I believe, can give us favor, and he's going to bless you. He's going to provide for you in ways that you didn't know were possible. He's going to build your trust and develop a foundation for you to trust him for even greater things. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is the good shepherd who will lead us through this crisis, and we can trust his ways. Amen. From the Psalms we learn, in silence remember his faithfulness. In the silence remember his faithfulness. Meditate on God's mighty works. Trust the ways of God. I want to end with a couple illustrations and stories from history. The first comes from a man known as John the Cross. John the Cross was born in 1564. So if you know your church history, you know that the Reformation, led by Martin Luther and Zwingli and John Calvin, was right in that 1500s. And so he is born right as that has taken place and became a monk at a very young age, 22. He was admired for his rigorous lifestyle and his leadership ability, and he became part of the Reformation movement in the Catholic Church, but later was arrested because and put in confinement because of those who opposed the Reformation. And it was in his confinement, that's taken on a new meaning for us, hasn't it? In his confinement, he wrote his best work, and it was called The Dark Night of the Soul. He defined this season as a time that God strips from us the pleasures of life, some of the things that we're used to. And just think about all the things that you are missing right now that God has stripped away from your life. And he says that dark night of souls, when God has stripped away some of those things so that he can purify us and cause us to grow. He goes, too often our hearts are attached to our feelings, our emotions, and God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to develop a foundation that isn't just based on how we are feeling at the moment, because our emotions, our feelings are up and down. We can feel high one day and low the next day. And God wants us to provide a steadiness in our life that comes through the truth of His Word and knowing what we believe. This is a quote from The Dark Night of the Soul, John the Cross. He says, "Let it suffice to say then that God perceives the imperfections within us. And because of His love for us, He urges us to grow up. His love is not content to leave us in our weakness. For this reason, He takes us into the dark night. He weans us from all the pleasures by giving us dry times and inward darkness." Wow. And in doing so, He is able to take away all the vices and create within us virtues. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are virtues. Through the dark night, pride becomes humility. This is good. Through the dark night, pride becomes humility. Greed becomes simplicity. Wrath becomes contentment. Luxury becomes peace. Gluttony becomes moderation. Envy becomes joy. Sloth becomes strength. No soul will ever grow deep in the spiritual life unless God works passively in the soul by the means of the dark night. You know, could this be a dark night for our country, for our world? Possibly. It sure seems like it. That God has taken us through this time to prepare us maybe for something that is yet to come, that He's calling us to strip away some of the things that are on the surface so that we can grow deep. It is time for us to grow some deep roots, church. To have a faith that is not based upon a church or a pastor, that as individuals that we grow deep in our own faith. We need the church, we need pastors. But if we become too dependent upon those systems, I think that is a dangerous thing. I admire the training of the Navy SEALs, and that came up in our small group, men's small group yesterday. William McRaven wrote a book called Make Your Bed. It comes from a speech he gave, I believe, at Texas A&M 2014, I believe. But it's a great book. He just shares some keys and insights that will help you change your life and maybe the world. It talks about disciplines and the rigorous training that the Navy SEALs go through. In his class of 150, only 33 made it to the end. That's a pretty good attrition rate. But as I've read this book, and I've actually included it in my dissertation project, what I've looked at and considered is that I wish that we could take people through a boot camp, through Navy SEALs training. I don't want to weed people out and I don't want to kill anybody. But why does the Navy SEALs take people through such rigorous training? Why do they do that? Why do they go through a thing called Hell Week where they're down on the Tijuana flats and sitting in cold mud and don't get sleep for 6 days and they're pushed to the limit? Why do they do all these things? It's so that when they get in the heat of battle, that there's character, there is strength. They know what their limits are, that there's a resiliency there that is developed over time. And if there's anything that's, the church has gone through an easy time as a whole. As a whole, the church has had some good days here lately. And maybe God is calling us to grow deep and to develop some character, some resiliency, and some depth in our own lives and as the body of Christ. So could it be as a nation, as the people of God, that God wants us in this season to grow deep and to discover the riches and the virtues that are found in Him. To learn that in the darkness there can be a song that pierces the night. There it can be. That even in the darkness, God can give us a hope. He can give us a strength. He can give us a song within our heart, even in the darkest night. Think about Paul and Silas singing in prison in Philippi. They're in shackles. Their back is tore open from being flogged. But in the middle of the night, you can hear them rejoicing and singing hymns and praises to God. See, that is a deep, resilient faith. That it didn't happen overnight, but it happened through Paul's journey, through his, that God took him through some difficult struggles in his own life. He developed a deep faith and provided a song in the night in his own life. And during this time, can I challenge you? Let God accomplish His will in your life. Find your song in the night that praises God and shares the hope you have in Christ. You have a hope. You have a future. Some people don't right now. But as the people of God, you should have a hope that sings, that rejoices. That even in the night, folks, God has given us a song. Amen? God has given us a song. I want to close this in a word of prayer. Maybe just join as you're there with your family. Maybe grab hands, join hands. Father, this morning we just gather together as your church, as the body of Christ, and we just come before you, Father. Is this a difficult time? Yes, it is. And at times maybe we question within our own heart and say, God, why haven't you answered our prayers immediately? Why haven't you answered him quickly? And we don't know all that. All we know is that, God, you have not changed, and your faithfulness is there, Lord God. We know that you are faithful. You know that you answer prayer, Lord God. And we know that you love us. Those are things that we know, God. And we know that you are going to lead us through this, just as you led the people of Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea to the Promised Land. You will lead us through this, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would use this to cause us to grow deep, to bring forth the godly virtues, maybe even to develop some disciplines in our life, because we're realizing that we don't have the disciplines necessary in our life to sustain us in this time, in this hour. It's exposed our weakness. And God, you haven't exposed some of those weaknesses to harm us. You've exposed those, Lord God, so that we can grow deeper, that we can develop disciplines that will carry us through the darkest night, through the toughest trial. You want us to grow deep so that we have a song in the night that it reflects your presence, your glory, your light to the rest of the world, Lord God, that shares the hope we have in Christ, not only in the future of heaven, but also, Lord God, in this very moment, you've given us a hope and a future. You've promised to walk with us. Lord, we give you the thanks this day. If we don't know you as our Lord and our Savior, today is a beautiful day to make that our own prayer. Say, God, come into my heart and my life. I need that hope. I need that strength. I need to know that my sins are forgiven. If we make that our prayer, God right now will come in. You will come into your heart and your life. He'll forgive you of your sins. And you'll have a hope and a future in Christ. And you can begin that journey. If that's you this morning, if you just take a moment to send us an email and saying, hey, I prayed that prayer this morning. Just send it to office@radiantsprings.com. You can go to our website, radiantsprings.com, and drop us an email and just say, hey, I prayed the prayer this morning. We'd love just to help you in that journey. And whether you live in the Crete area, Lincoln, or you live someplace else around the world, we want to help you in that journey. Amen. And Lord God, we just pray for our nation right now. We just pray for the families that have been impacted by this. Maybe they've lost a loved one. We just pray that your comfort and your strength is there. We pray for those that are battling this infection, Lord God, that your strength and grace would be near them, Father, that you would be with them. Your presence would be in those hospital rooms, Lord God. I pray for our leadership. I pray for our president. And I pray for our governors and our mayors, Lord God, that desperately need your wisdom in this time, Lord God. I pray that you would go before them and grant them your favor. I pray as a nation, God, you would unite us, Lord Jesus. You'd bring healing to our nation, Lord God, and once again, that we can sense your grace and mercy, that when this is all done, that we can see God's favor and that he was walking with us, Lord God. I pray for our our nurses and our doctors and those that are working in our healthcare system that are on the front lines fighting this enemy, Lord God, we just pray for your shield to be over them, Lord God, to protect them from this, Lord. And we pray for even our workers that are still working, and some of them are, many of them are working overtime to meet the demand, Lord God. I pray that as they are working hard, that you would protect them as well. Give them the strength that they need during this time. Father, be with your people today. We thank you. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, good to have you all here with us today. And you joined in and watched us. And reach out to us. Stay in contact. Text one another. Message each other on Facebook. Stay in contact. That is so important. If God places somebody on your heart today or throughout this week, just take that moment. Don't put it off. Just at that moment, reach out to people. Call, text, whatever. Stay in contact with each other. We need each other during these times. We are better together. And the plan is to be here. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. So it's going to be a little bit different Palm Sunday for us. But it is Palm Sunday. And so we will probably most likely be back here live streaming. And we're going to be experts at this by the time this is done. And it's helping us as a church to become better as well. So, hey, God bless you today. Enjoy your time with your family and enjoy the sunshine today. So God bless. Have a great Sunday. Amen.